My name is David Ruffner. I am a member of this church and a Lutheran pastor, but I'm not the pastor of this church. That is what Caleb was speaking of earlier when he mentioned that we are vacant. For nearly a year now, we have not had our own full-time pastor, but I, along with a few other pastors, have had really a joy and honor, work at times, but a joy and honor of being in the rotation on Sundays and on an evening like this. I mention that because as I look out tonight, probably half of you are guests. Each guest might not know that about the other folks, but half of you are guests. And normally our membership is a bit stronger than this, but many of our members are elderly and are going through a lot right now and are homesick or possibly even traveling to see others. Again, though, we welcome you to Shepherd in the Pines. Grace, mercy, and peace, then, these are God's gifts to you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. That's true of every day, but that's true of every day, beginning with this night, the birth of Jesus. All right, changing, though, gears just a bit, let's talk about family recipes. Who here likes to cook? Anybody? I know Joy's hand goes up. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I see now. Yeah. Some of us like to cook. Most of us like to eat. And as long as there's at least some of both, we're in good shape. Family recipes. I would love the chance tonight to come by your house or maybe tomorrow, your cabin, your rental, and see what you're cooking up. Because when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to holidays, when it comes to festive times, we tend to cook our best, our favorite, right? I would love to come by. I would love to steal a recipe. I'd love to maybe hear from you about that. And I'd also love for you to stop by our place. We've got it down by now, right? After being a pastor on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for more than 16 years, we had it down because oftentimes it was a 4 p.m., a 6 p.m., and then like a candlelight Christmas Eve service later. And so we had to figure it out. So Christmas Eve for us, it's appetizers. It's an appetizer dinner, kind of the same ones every year with a few new ones rotating in and out. So if you were to stop by tonight, it'd be an appetizer dinner. We've got, you know, the meatballs and some sort of jelly chili sauce. We will have pierogies. Anybody know the pierogies? Any Polish folks here? Yeah. Pierogies and a dill cream sauce that is pretty awesome. Only makes it to our house once a year. We have eggnog, the good kind, the homemade kind. And tomorrow, normally on Christmas, our family recipe is beef short ribs. Oh, tomorrow with this balmy weather, it's going to be just smoked pork ribs. I've got the day, we've got the time, and we've got the meat. Yeah, I love food, and I love family recipes, and I love family. Yet as good as food can be and is, sometimes it's the act of getting the whole clan together that turns out to be a bad recipe. Any amens? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about. Just 2 days ago, in fact, in USA Today, I knew I didn't need to look it up until right on the eve of Christmas Eve, because every year somebody will run one like this. Dr. Phil McGraw and Dr. John White penned an opinion piece, and it was entitled this, kind of a long title and subtitle, but it says, "Feeling Holiday Stress? How to Say No and Set Boundaries with Your Family at Christmas." Now, I'm here to say I'm sure boundaries are good. And I'm sure each of us needs to learn how to say no, but there's something about the idea of showing up at Christmas, armored from tip to tail with boundaries and locked and loaded with no and no and no. It just seems to be lacking. All right? And yet, it's true. When we get together, sometimes it's simply the act of getting together that's the bad family recipe. What exactly is at the center of these bad recipes? Well, on the one hand, I suppose it could be any number of things. Pick from a list. Different upbringings, different values, changing values, past regrets, past harm, jealousy, and resentment. Oh my, that's just a partial list. Yet there's one bad family recipe that seems to creep into all of our gatherings. And it's a short recipe, simple ingredients. It's got like two things in it. The first one is this. Are you ready? Work is over. School is out. And you ready for the second one? The second one's the kicker. The second one goes like this. Finally, I get to be at a place with some people who need nothing from me. It's that second ingredient that turns things sideways and upside down. Though a simple recipe, it's a recipe for disaster. Why? So, because your family is needy, whether you like it or not. They're a needy group of people, and guess what, Daryl? So are you, right? Yeah, so are you. It may sound great to attend a family gathering where no one is needy. The only problem is they don't exist. But I guarantee you that if you do show up thinking otherwise, you have brought the recipe for disaster. We are here tonight because God has shown up to this gathering. Check out first Luke chapter 1. It's the chapter right before the chapter we read. It takes place, I guess if we were to put the calendar upon this moment right now, it takes place 9 months ago. You ready? Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now tonight, our text comes from Luke 2, 9 months later. 9 months later and further away, now on to Bethlehem. And Mary gives birth to a child. Verse 7, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Verse 11, to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And a few verses on, verse 21, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus." Tonight, God has come our way in Jesus. He has come to earth. It's a recipe for disaster to show up thinking that you've come to a party where no one needs anything from you. And yet I'm here to tell you that God, as he comes our way, knows the score precisely. He sees things fully and clearly, and sees our great need. What then does that mean for us? It means at least two things. I'll name two things tonight. The first is this, that tonight is actually an attack upon all of our illusions. I'll say it again. Tonight's an attack upon all of our illusions. Our homes may be decorated just so, or maybe the cabin is appointed just so, and we left all the mess behind. Gifts might be perfect. The smells coming from the kitchen might be remarkable, yet not all is well. Despite all of the wrappings, we are still filled with discouragement, despair, and guilt. We are filled with shame and self-loathing. We are filled with lovelessness, resentments, hearts hardened toward that person. You know who it is. The good that we have wanted to do, we haven't done, and the bad we have wanted to avoid, we haven't avoided. All is not well. If God is coming our way, he must know this too, and he does, and we are exposed. Yet listen to those three snippets of scripture from Luke 2 again. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And at the end of 8 days, he was circumcised and he was called Jesus. He does not come as Jesus to judge. This is the second thing, the greater, the better thing. Rather, he comes as Jesus, the Savior. It's a terrible thing to expose, but it's a worse thing still to be exposed before your judge. It's a terrible thing to be exposed, but it's an amazing thing when having been exposed, your Savior comes to rescue. And even so, Jesus comes tonight. His name even means it. Jesus is a version of his day and the land in which he lived, and the people who spoke the language they did, of the Old Testament name, Joshua. And Joshua means, does anybody know it? He who saves. And he is wrapped in rags and laid on wood, a foreshadowing of when he would be laid on the cross, I'll tell you, and when he would be wrapped with scraps of cloth for his burial. Yes, Jesus came that he might serve, and serve he did, not a little, but fully. He served with the very giving of his life. If you cook long enough in the kitchen, you learn substitutions, don't you? Because every once in a while you reach for something and it's just not there, is it? You can use this acid in place of that acid. You can use this leavening agent in place of that one, and so on and so forth. And God the Father's perfect recipe tonight, he saw how needy you are. He saw how needy I am, how far off in our sin and shame and guilt. And he sent his saving Son into our flesh to be our Savior. And from the moment he arrived, culminating on the cross, this Jesus began making substitutions. Jesus traded his holiness for our sin. Meaning this, he said to you and to me, here, have my holiness, and let me take that from you. He traded his innocence for our guilt and shame. He traded the favor of his own Father for our condemnation. And he took it all to the cross and paid the price for all of it there. And in his resurrection, 3 days later, he broke the bonds of death, trading death for life, paving the way of death to life for all of us who trust in him. In God's perfect plan, his perfect recipe, the conception, birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is for you. And it's exactly what you needed. It's for you to serve you, to be with you, to save you, to bring you forgiveness, new life, and to bring you membership now into God's family, where he calls you beloved children, and he gathers you before his table, where all is prepared and where the gifts are ready to be given. Yes, tonight is God's recipe of salvation for our broken souls, lives, and families. He has made it so through Jesus, both now, tonight, tomorrow, and always. We pray. Gracious God, bless all of our gatherings of family and friends. Forgive us, Lord, when we have gone selfishly, ready to receive and not to give. And yet, Lord, tonight, you come to us, seeing our need, and you have served us from this life to the next life. You have served us in such a way as to bring us out of judgment and to bring us into favor and family with you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, your Son. For this we thank you. Both here tonight and in our homes later, with family and friends gathered round in the hours and days ahead, just as you have blessed us, may we bless others. As you have forgiven us, may we forgive others. As you have shown us mercy, may we show mercy to others. And just as we have great hope in you, certain hope in you, prepare us, Lord, to share the same with others. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.